Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. Merry Christmas to all of you and welcome to the 2017 Plyer Family Christmas Special. And I'm truly honored that my family is joining me in studio. First, my beautiful wife, Lori. Merry Christmas, Lori.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Our oldest son, Josh. Merry Christmas, pal.
Merry Christmas, Dad.
Our favorite daughter.
I'm your only daughter, Dad.
Well, that's true. So that makes you our favorite daughter still. That's okay. Merry Christmas, Emma, to you. And our youngest, Alex. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas, Dad.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're here. Well, Christmas is one of our family's favorite times of the year because it's built on tradition, and we do love our traditions, don't we?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, we all have our favorites. I know, Josh, you really embrace the traditions of the holidays. We almost kind of have a checklist that we go through every year, and it kind of kicks off with one big event in the beginning of November.
No, we usually kick it off the season with the lighting ceremony for the Great Tree at Macy's.
And that's something that I started with my family back in the 1970s when my grandparents used to take us there, and nothing really has changed in that experience even since you guys were kids. I mean, there's so many things that you like to eat there too, like the
pot pie, the
Emma,
squash soup.
The pot pie.
I love the pot pie.
Yeah, the pot pie is
the snowman
really
ice cream for the kids is now your do it your own.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, that's right. With the little licorice and the marshmallows, Lori, you have a salad you always get there.
The bird's nest.
The bird's nest. I'm always the field special, which I look back, I think it's been on the menu since the 1940s. It's like their, you know, Thousand Island dressing and stuff, and then it's the Frango mint pie that kind of wrapped things up for us. And for me, I'm going to have to say it's Polish Christmas because that's a tradition that my grandparents and my great-grandmother started back in the 1930s here in the States. And this year, we hosted Polish Christmas.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And what are some of those traditions?
We sing carols. We do a whole lot of food. We pass around the opłaki.
Mushroom soup.
Yeah, mushroom soup. So we do a very, very, very special mushroom soup. And then, yeah, pierogi. But it's meatless. Italian culture has that, too, on Christmas Eve, where it's a lot of fish. Mm-hmm. So we do shrimp and we do
whitefish.
Whitefish and all kinds of goodies. What else am I missing, Laura? Sauerkraut, not my favorite. Emma, what's your favorite holiday tradition?
My favorite holiday tradition is baking your grandma's cookies.
That's right. So, yeah, back in the day, Grandma used to literally bake 40 to 50 dozen cookies. And whether you were the mailman or the pastor or the doctor or the garbage man, you got a tin of cookies from Grandma, which was really special. And really, when she was in the last month of her life in the 90s, I promised her that we would continue that tradition. And you and I have continued that. Now, I know you brought the recipe with you. Why don't you kind of share the favorite recipe, which is the candy canes?
All right. 3.5 cups of gold metal flour, 1/2 cup of real butter, 1/2 cup of shortening, 1/2 cup of milk, 1 egg, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 1 teaspoon of almond extract, 1 little salt. Mix it together, split 2 portions, and put red food coloring in one of them. Twist them together, usually 2 teaspoons of each. Bake at 375 for about 10 minutes. It makes 5 dozen.
And those are clearly all of our favorites.
They're my favorite,
And it's fun to do, too. I mean, we get the hang of it. It takes us a little while sometimes, but it's always a lot of fun. Alex, you love going to see Santa, of course. What did you ask for this year?
A police Lego set.
Mm-hmm.
And the police station is like this big.
Okay.
I mean, the box.
For our listeners, it's a big, big set.
And there's 3 bad guys and 4 police officers and 1 dog.
Oh, that's very cool. That's very cool. And anything Batman, too, because you love Batman.
Yes.
That's what I thought. All right. We also enjoy watching our favorite movies and Christmas episodes. And sometimes it's a favorite Christmas episode of a TV show that we watch. Mine is the Dick Van Dyke Show Christmas episode where they sing I Am a Fine Musician. And it wouldn't be
exactly.
And it wouldn't be Christmas if we didn't watch some of these, you know. And Lori, you and I, when we had our Christmas parties early on, we used to pass out
song sheets.
And we used to sing that. It was a good time. It was very retro 1960s old fashioned Christmas party. But yeah, the Dick Van Dyke Show and is probably my favorite. Lori, what's your favorite movie or Christmas episode?
This year, Miracle on 34th Street took the top of the list.
Josh, what's your favorite Christmas special?
Mine's probably got to be Elf.
Elf. Yeah, absolutely, with Will Ferrell.
Oh, yeah.
Favorite part of the movie?
Probably the dinner table when he chugs the whole 2 liter of Coke.
Because you've never done that.
Minus two when he tries to get the star on the tree, when he jumps under the tree and knocks the tree over. The spaghetti with syrup is a favorite, too. Emma, what about you?
I like The Grinch with Jim Carrey.
Not the animated one, but the Jim Carrey one.
Yeah.
He's pretty animated himself, though.
And I have a Susie Lou headband now.
Oh, do you? Oh, that's right. You got one for Christmas this year. So, Alex, what is your favorite holiday special?
Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of our favorites. It's one of the holiday staples of the year. It's always one of the highest-rated TV specials of the season, too.
Dad, did you know that the show went to win both the Emmy and Peabody Award and was the first of over 40 animated Peanuts specials created by the legendary creator of Peanuts, Charles Schulz, animator Bill Melendez, and our special guest to share the story behind this beloved Christmas special, and that is award-winning television producer Lee Mendelsohn.
That's right, Emma. Lee, happy holidays to you, and thanks for joining us on this Christmas day.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you.
So back in 1965, Coca-Cola approached you to produce a holiday special for television.
So Coca-Cola called in 1965 when a Time magazine cover story about the Charlie Brown characters came out. And they said, if you folks that did the documentary, which we liked, I ever thought of doing a Christmas show. I said, absolutely. And they said, well, we need an outline in 2 days down here in Atlanta. I said, no problem. I hung up. I called Mr. Schulz. I said, I think I just sold a Charlie Brown Christmas show. And he said, what in the world is that? And I said, it's something you're going to write tomorrow. And there was another long pause. He said, all right, we can do it. Have Melendez come up and we'll meet tomorrow. We'll figure out something. So we met the next day, came up with all the ideas for Charlie Brown Christmas that eventually came out 6 months later and on the CBS. We had to give them an outline first. And so we did the outline. And we said, we're going to use real kids. We're going to use Vince Guaraldi again with jazz and Beethoven and traditional cute music. We're going to do a Christmas play to show all the pressure on kids at Christmas time. We're going to use real kids, not adults. And we're going to have Linus read from the Bible and so forth and so on. Sent the outline by Western Union back then to Atlanta. They bought the outline. They bought the show. And then, of course, Bill Melendez had a storyboard after Charles Schulz wrote the dialogue, and that was the second step.
Now, the main story, as you were saying, was to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. And even back then, right, 50 years ago, we were talking about the commercialization of Christmas and how it's gotten.
Right. It hasn't changed much. And the paradox, of course, is there's nothing more commercial than Charlie Brown products. And, of course, over the years, Charles Schulz would say, you know, all I do, I'm a cartoonist and I draw funny pictures. And I hope people like them. And if they want to buy products, that's not my thing. That's for other companies to determine. But all I can do is to draw my comic strip and not worry about the other side of it.
Well, and at a time, too, where everything, especially today, and even back then, was overly politically correct, tackling religion.
Right.
And calling it a Christmas special. That was a little bit controversial at the time, too.
Well, it didn't turn out to be controversial. Bill Melendez, I thought it might be. We were done outlining the show, and at the last minute, Mr. Schulz said, I think we should have Linus read from the Bible. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if we're going to do a Christmas show, you know, we ought to talk about what Christmas is really about. And I remember Bill looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, maybe that's it's going to be a problem. And I said, you know, I've never heard of animating anything for the Bible. And he said, well, if we don't do it, it will, Mr. Schulz. So we ended up doing it, and we never had any question for anybody after that. Nobody ever questioned it. It just became part of the show.
But now here, you know, when you're putting together the special, Peanuts was a comic strip for nearly 15 years by 1965. There were no voices.
That's right.
And now you had to put voices to all of the characters.
Right.
Now, you really had to, you know, I'm sure Mr. Schultz in his mind knew what the attitude and the voices were
right.
of a character. But after 15 years right. of drawing them, now it has to happen.
Again, we thought Charlie Brown should be very blah.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, well, Lucy was just a typical girl. We had no problem with her. And that Linus should show some kind of innocence. And that's the voices we went for. And they all worked really well on a Christmas show. And then every 2 years thereafter, we just emulated those voices. So we put some shows together on a given night. They were 30 years apart, but you can't tell the difference with the voices. We've been very lucky with that. The most famous voice was a lady who played Sally for us for 2 or 3 years, and her name was Stacey Ferguson, and she went on to become Fergie. So she was our most famous talent.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And here it is, these kids, though, instead of voiceover artists, because so that was a big deal, is using actual
right.
children. These kids,
right.
a lot of these kids were from your own neighborhood.
Well, some of them were from Hollywood, for the main, you know, three, because we used them in a documentary, and some of them were from my neighborhood, so there was a mix of professionals and non-professionals.
Now, the special opens and closes with a choir of children, and I read
right.
this was culled from St. Paul's Episcopal Church in San Rafael, California.
San Rafael, yes. What happened, he had been working with a children's choir to do a jazz mass in San Francisco, a very famous one. And when the show was done, the opening scene in skating was just an instrumental, beautiful song, and I said, maybe we could get some words to this, and I called around. I couldn't find any lyricist who would do it. So I sat down at my dining room table and just squared out the words to Christmas Time Is Here.
Wow.
Handed the words to Vince. He went to the children's choir, and they recorded it that weekend, and we added that to the show.
Wow.
And then they did Hark the Herald Angels Sing at the End. And the critic said, Mendelssohn wrote the opening and closing song, and I called him up, and I said, wait a minute. I wrote Christmas Time Is Here. I didn't write Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Although that'd be great. That'd be great, some great money.
He said no, but Felix Mendelssohn did.
And that was award-winning television producer Lee Mendelssohn of A Charlie Brown Christmas. Now, Josh, I know you love A Charlie Brown Christmas as well, but you really love the music. It's really one of your favorite Christmas albums.
Oh, yeah. It's my favorite. During Thanksgiving and especially during Christmas, I play it on my phone like all the time, in the car, hanging out with friends, just doing whatever. Here's actually a quick fact. A Charlie Brown Christmas is still listed as one of the top 20 best-selling Christmas albums of all time and has been voted into the Grammy Hall of Fame and was
wow.
added to the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry as one of the most culturally important albums of all time.
I believe that. It's one of my favorites, too. Now, we as a family have a tradition, of course, of going to Mass on Christmas morning, and it's really the reason for the season. You know, as a kid, I went to midnight Mass, which was a little brutal.
And we went 9 a.m. first thing in the morning.
Yeah, you went first thing in the morning. And speaking of Mass and holiday music, Emma, what is the opening song that we sing in the beginning of our Christmas Mass?
Oh, Come All Ye Faithful.
That's right. Many forget the true meaning of Christmas, which celebrates the birth of Jesus. So to close out our Christmas special this year, we invite His Eminence, Cardinal Blaise Cupich, who serves over 2.4 million Catholics in Chicago, to join us in studio. Merry Christmas to you, Cardinal Cupich.
Merry Christmas, Dave. Good to be with you again.
Always a pleasure. You know, we are living in one of the most divisive social and political climates of our time. There's often growing hostility toward different nationalities, races, or beliefs. And in the Chicago Archdiocese, Masses are said in over 25 languages. And the church, to me, and attending weekly Mass, has always been a place of peace for me, and it needs to continue to be a place of peace where we can actually bring people together.
Well, exactly. And in fact, if you look over a congregation, you see that there are people from all walks of life, backgrounds, different racial groups, ethnic groups as well. And that really is what makes us unique. We're not an homogenous group. We have the diversity of the human family each and every Eucharist that we celebrate, and that's the way it should be. It's a reminder that Christ died for all of us and that we're all one body.
What are your thoughts and advice to those who will be getting together during the Christmas season and on Christmas Day with friends and family where there might be conflict? How can faith intervene to provide that sense of peace?
Well, I think Christmas is always a time to be grateful for many gifts. And so maybe families can center their conversation around the things that they're grateful for rather than maybe going around the table and say, what is it that we disagree about? Because I think, you know, maybe you want to be kind of strategic in planning your family conversation because I think that gratitude is a great leveler. It reminds us all that we're beggars before the Lord, that we come into this world with nothing, and everything that we have is a gift from God. I think reminding ourselves of that at Christmas, especially since the story of Christmas is that God is with us, and so we should not be afraid, or as St. Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? That if we remind ourselves that God's with us, and we shouldn't be against each other.
And I know you're taking a lot of this to heart because the Archdiocese is taking so much action in different areas this year to combat so much of this, and one of them is to combat the violence in our city. And we launched a anti-violence initiative to increase the capacity and reach current programs that address the root cause of violence, to identify and actively seek collaboration with like-purposed organizations to break the cycles of family instability and despair and racism, poverty, and help create those conditions for peace.
Yes, there are multiple levels of our work with regard to the anti-violence, not only in terms of working in coordination with Catholic Charities to create hubs where people can feel safe, where they can be supported as well, but also from the standpoint of our schools with the tax credit scholarships that we have now made available through law. We hope that many families will now see that they have a choice in sending their children to school and look for that opportunity that the tax credit scholarships allow.
And that, of course, helps low-income students, but it also provides strong incentives for donors to support these types of initiatives as well.
Exactly. It's a great deal because what it does is it gives you a tax credit for your state income tax that is up to 75%, which is quite phenomenal, so that if you owe $750 for your tax, you can give a gift to a scholarship-granting organization that we are working with, Empower Illinois, and the amount of $1,000, and have all your tax wiped out for the coming year, and make a $250 contribution for kids for scholarships.
Well, that's the core of this whole thing. It's not only about what we're offering to the community, but it's also a great way for local businesses to get involved and support the Catholic schools and the community.
Yes. Businesses as well as individuals can participate in this. And the individuals can target their money, for instance, to a particular Catholic school or Catholic school system. So we really believe that we're going to attract more students. You know, we get kids out of poverty. We have about a 95% graduation rate for our schools. And that is a remarkable achievement. Yeah. And our kids go to college, too. So I know myself, because I had the opportunity for a good education, our family was able to move out of poverty into the next level.
Now, all of this also surrounds what you were doing really throughout the Archdiocese with Renew My Church. And that is something where the core of the schools and the community itself all come together. And one of the biggest challenges that we face and a lot of the Catholic churches faces, and we do it at St. Juliana in Chicago, is making sure that the families that go to the school also come to the church. There is a definite disconnect between the school and the church. There's a lot of parents that are involved in their kids' school every single day. And we're taking steps to make sure that they're also involved a little bit more in the Sunday experience because it all starts on Sunday.
It really does. And I think that more and more we're seeing that parents do get the connection between Sunday and the rest of the week because they really can't expect us to teach them about the faith and instill in them values that are inspired by our faith. If, as a family, don't practice on Sunday, we'd be sending kids different messages. And parents realize themselves that they don't want their children involved in various activities or with other people or doing things that undermine the messages that they're trying to convey in school and at home. So what the parish community does is, once again, reach out to parents and reinforce what's taking place in the home as well in the school.
Well, this is Christmas, and it is really easy to forget about the true meaning of the season. And to share his Christmas message with you is His Eminence Cardinal Blaise Supich.
Thank you, Dave. And my greetings to all of you on this Christmas day. Blessings to you and your family. We call him Emmanuel. It's a name that means God is with us. And so today, maybe as we think about our families and our own lives, with all the happy moments that are there, the questions that we have, maybe even the painful struggles, the message of Christ is that we're not alone in all this. Jesus is the Son of God. He belongs to the human family. He is God with us. And that conviction really gives us hope that surpasses whatever challenge we may face and difficulty that may be ahead of us. It's that hope that gives us a joy in these days. The birth of Christ also summons us to be responsible for one another, to recognize the circumstances of Jesus' birth. He came into this world poor. He was a part of a migrant family with Mary and Joseph. He was displaced, without a shelter, even threatened with violence. He was vulnerable, as all young life is. So as we receive him this Christmas, let's make sure that we receive the poor, the displaced, the homeless, the migrant, the vulnerable who live among us. That's my prayer for you this Christmas. I pray that you will experience the joy and hope of knowing that God is with us, and take up with fresh vigor the call to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, visit the sick, and offer a welcome to the stranger. For Jesus tells us, as often as you do these kindnesses for them, you do them for him. So Merry Christmas to all of you. Emmanuel, God is with us.
Thank you, Cardinal Supich, and Merry Christmas to you as well.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, that wraps up Applier Family Christmas Special for 2017. And from all of us to all of you, have a very Merry Christmas and a happy and healthy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time.